Welcome to the Natcha Healing Show. Keep it Natcha with the Natcha Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Now, our guest today is Ben Bourgeois. Did I say your name properly?
Yeah, some say Bourgeois, some say Bourgeois. Okay. They're both correct.
Both correct. Ben Bourgeois is a world champion surfer. And you can find out more about Ben Bourgeois and his wonderful work at three websites, sweetwatersurfshop.com, SweetwaterSurfSchool.com, and also the ShedWB.com. Welcome, Ben Bourgeois.
Thank you.
Now, what we're talking about today is what a world champion surfer can teach the rest of us about how to train for surfing. And I wanted to talk to you because whenever you have accumulated a master degree of skill, then you know not only how to do your sport, but also how to train for it. What are the most popular training methods for surfing?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's so many different styles nowadays. I would say the most popular and probably the most important is putting time in the water surfing. It's really hard to mimic surfing on land when you're out of the water. So just the more time you spend in the water, the more confidence. So just surfing and paddling and all that in the ocean is the best place to train. But there's, you know, a lot of styles and a lot of things people are incorporating now on land as well.
Now, this may sound like a ridiculous question, but do you have to be a good swimmer in order to become a surfer?
Well, I think it's really important to be a pretty good swimmer. I don't think you have to be an exceptional swimmer. But yes, when you're caught in a situation and the waves are big or you're held under, it's really good to be a confident swimmer. If your leash breaks and your board is nowhere near you and you have to swim in, it's definitely important to be a good swimmer, but I don't think you have to be like a world-class swimmer.
Okay. Now for our audience, will you please share with us? I know that for a while you were on the world champion surfing tour and you won the world amateur title at age 18 and then went on to become a professional surfer. Will you share for our audience your background, your personal background in surfing?
Yeah, my background it all started in North Carolina for me, from a small beach town called Wrightsville Beach. And it's a great place to grow up. We're surrounded by water. I just, you know, was basically at the beach every day surfing. And I started just competing locally. And that kind of expanded into like the Mid-Atlantic region. I started to competing outside of my local spot into the Mid-Atlantic and then to the whole East Coast. So you basically, there's an association called the Eastern Surfing Association, and they run events on the whole Eastern Seaboard. So you would go to the East Coast Surfing Championships. And then from there, if you do good in the East Coast Championships, you graduate over to the United States, the U.S. Championships. And then, you know, after the U.S. Championships, you have a chance to make the U.S. team, and then you surf for USA on a world level and things like that. So I kind of just graduated through all those different stages, and that took me to competing internationally, and then eventually on to the world qualifying series, then onto the world tour.
Now, many of us who are soccer fans know that there's different soccer leagues. What are the different levels of professional surfing?
Oh, there's quite a few. It basically just starts off in the amateur leagues, you know, and there's a couple different amateur leagues within that. And then from there, you basically, the next step would be the WSL World Tour, and there's a qualifying series for that. So that's kind of after the amateurs, the next step is the qualifying series, and you surf in that. And then if you qualify in that, you make it onto the main stage, the big stage, which is the World Championship Tour. And that's by the World Surf League.
So the World Surf League, how many events do they usually have every year, and where do they surf?
They have, they probably have about under 10 events now. It's maybe about 8 events. It's all over the world. It varies each season. It's a little bit different, but they have everywhere from Australia, USA, Hawaii, Tahiti, Fiji. They have some pretty incredible locations with amazing waves. They actually call it the Dream Tour now, because it's kind of like a surfer's, all the spots are like a surfer's dream. Back when I was doing it, it was kind of the beginning stages of the Dream Tour, but we also went to a lot of areas where the surf wasn't that good, but the crowds were big. Now with the broadcast, you know, they can kind of have a contest in a really remote place and still broadcast it to the whole world.
Now, so let's bring all this back for our audience. Why would somebody want to learn how to surf? What are the health benefits of surfing?
Some of the health benefits with surfing is, I mean, it's such, just let's see, even beyond that, it's just such a unique experience. You know, you're dealing with Mother Nature, and you're just riding this swell that was generated from millions of miles away. And there's really nothing like it at all. You can't compare it to any other sport or activity. It's just healing being in the ocean. You know, even if you're not surfing, just going for a swim and stuff like that. So then you add the surfing aspect on top of that, and it's kind of like a whole nother level. You know, when you get up and you ride this moving wave, and every single wave you catch is different. You never get the same wave twice. It's impossible. Every wave's different. So every time you pop up to your feet, it's a brand new feeling and a totally different ride than the one you caught before.
Okay. Now let's say somebody's listening to you and they're interested in surfing. What is the basic equipment that someone needs to learn how to start surfing?
The basic equipment that, you know, is nowadays you pretty much start off on a softboard. It's called a soft top. So yeah, it's almost like a spongy feeling. And those are great, especially when you're just beginning, because the board hits you and it doesn't hurt. It's a lot more forgiving than a hard board. So yeah, you basically saw it off on a board called a soft top. And then, you know, you kind of graduate from there onto a hard board and one that performs a little better once you're ready.
Okay. And so I assume, like every other new sport, so for example, let's say you wanted to learn skateboarding, there's a lot of falling involved. Although skateboarding would be on land, what are some common injuries that surfers usually go through?
I'd say the most common injury is cuts from fins, because the fins of the board are sharp. Mm-hmm. And when you do wipe out and you fall, you're basically tumbling underwater, and sometimes the board whips around and, you know, fin can catch you in different places. So fin cuts are probably the most common. Other than that, you can get, you know, small cases of whiplash and just almost like your normal beating, you know, rolled around, bruises from the board hitting you. If it's not a fin, it could just be the board that cracks you. And you can get bruises and stuff like that, but the ocean, you know, it can be forgiving as well. It's not as hard as the cement. So when you're just starting out, you're not riding big waves, and you're not going super fast, so the falls aren't that bad. And like I said, back to the softboards, they are way more forgiving than a hardboard.
Yes, I years ago I interviewed a skateboarding expert for the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio, and she offered to teach me. And I said, you know, I really like kind of like my front teeth. I don't think I'm going to learn skateboarding. Okay, so if somebody's starting out, they start out with a soft board. What sort of activities does somebody need to learn how to do in order to get ready for surfing?
There's some activities I think that could help get ready for surfing, but like I said before, there's really nothing like it. It's really hard to kind of go through the motions on land. The main one is basically you take one of those soft boards without the fins in it and you lay it on your living room floor or on your bed, and you learn, you practice your pop up, because that's basically the first step in riding a wave. You have to have this quick pop up to your feet. So that is probably the one maneuver that you can really practice on land before you get in the water, is perfecting your pop-up on land, even though it is much different once you get in the water and the whole board's moving around. That's why I say some people lay the board on their bed, because the bed's got a little movement to it. So yeah, that's really about it, the pop-up.
So what exactly is a pop-up?
That's when you're laying on your stomach on the board and you're paddling, and you see a wave coming, and you're going to catch the wave. You're trying to catch the wave. And when the wave picks you up, when you feel the momentum of the wave, that's when it's time to jump to your feet. it's tricky. It definitely takes some practice, and there's a whole art to knowing when to pop up and when not to pop up. A lot of people pop up too early and the wave passes them by. You know, you want to make sure you have enough momentum going down the wave, and there's a perfect time when to, you know, when you know when to jump to your feet.
Okay. Now, one of the things that people talk about is that it takes 10,000 hours of practice to become a master at anything, which basically works out to about 10 years of practice. How long did it take you to become a master surfer?
I feel like it's still ongoing. There's something I learn, you know, every time. I don't think you can ever truly master surfing. It's just, like I said, it's forever changing. So I think it's impossible to master, but you know, you can become more and more comfortable. But definitely 10 years, I would say, is a good mark. It takes a lot of time. You know, a lot of people get steered away from surfing because you really have to be consistent and put in the work day after day and have a lot of rough days where you just don't even catch a wave, you know? So for me, I was lucky because I started at such a young age, you know, like 5 years old, maybe even younger. I was already riding waves, and I just, you know, from a little kid, I that's all I wanted to do was surf. So I kind of had this, you know, pretty fast progression, just being this little guy and being able to pop up real easy and real nimble. So I caught on to it pretty quick, but it still took me a long time to get confident, especially when the waves got bigger.
So who taught you how to surf?
Mainly my uncles and cousins. Yeah, they surfed. So it was just, you know, we'd go down to the beach for family beach days, and my uncles and cousins had boards and wetsuits laying around, and we'd kind of all share, and they kind of got me going on my first couple of waves.
And I understand that you won the world amateur title when you were 18. Once you turned pro, did you have professional coaches?
Yes, I when I turned pro, I did work with some coaches, but it was a bit different. That was quite a long time ago, and we didn't really travel with coaches and stuff like that. I would do a little bit of very minimal coaching with people, like, you know, once or twice a year, maybe. And then I would go on tour by myself and just with other friends that were on tour. And we would stay with families and stuff like that. But I never really had a coach that traveled with me. Back then, it wasn't a thing to really have a coach. As where nowadays that's completely changed, and you know, people have multiple coaches and a nutritionist and a, you know, a personal trainer, and you could have a whole crew that travels with you on the tour now. Back when I did it, that wasn't a thing.
Now, what basic fitness activities empower a person to be able to be fit enough for surfing?
I think the basics would be just having, you know, good cardio. Mm-hmm. So doing sort of cardio work, whether that's, you know, running or biking or, you know, even stationary in a gym, something like that, because it can get you winded just by laying on a board and paddling out through the breaking waves. It's like over and over. It can be kind of relentless. So cardio is a big one. And then other than that, I would say staying flexible is huge. You know, that pop up position, going from a laying position on a moving board to jumping up to your feet is very tricky. And if you're not flexible, that can be, that's what gets most people. It's like some people look really fit and strong, and they just can't get their feet under them quick enough on the wave, you know? So yoga is a big one. Yoga and surfing kind of go hand in hand.
Okay. And with that, let's take a break and listen to one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, and we're interviewing Ben Bourgeois about how to train for surfing. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So Ben Bourgeois, different experts can argue about what is the best kind of exercise, but at the end of the day, the correct answer seems to be the one kind of exercise that you will do, right? And a lot of people don't like gym classes. They don't like to be in the gym. They prefer to be out in nature. What attracted you to surfing in the first place?
That's a really good question. I was so young when I was just attracted to it. I think I just love being at the beach and I just love the ocean. I love being in the water, whether it was a pool or the sea, you know? So it just came really natural to me. I loved riding skateboards too. Any sort of board, I was just, that was my thing. I wasn't so into like riding bikes and playing t-ball or basketball or anything like that. It was just like, I just wanted to be on a board, whether it was, you know, in the driveway or out in the ocean. It was all about surfing for me. And I'm not sure where that came from.
So what physical fitness attributes make a good surfer?
I think, you know, being fast, fast and, you know, lightweight definitely helps. Lighter weight, but there are some incredible big people, you know, like big guys and that surf really well. So, I don't want to steer anyone away, but I think it does help to be, you know, light, especially coming where I come from, here on the East Coast, where the waves are smaller. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're smaller and you're fit, you're definitely going to have more fun because the waves don't have as much power. So, you know, if you're out of shape, and you try to get into surfing, it's going to be really tough. Yeah.
Now, how many hours a week would it take someone to become a good surfer?
As you know, as many hours as you can put in is going to help. You know, the more time you can put in, the better. You know, surfing's all about repetition and practice. It's like especially at the beginning stages, you know, it's like you can't practice enough. And even when you step away, like for me now, even when I step away, say I don't surf for 2 weeks, I feel it when I go back to it. Even though I've been surfing my entire life, I stay in shape, I go to the gym every day. If I step away from surfing for 2 weeks, I notice it. You know, my paddling isn't quite as good, and I get winded a little faster. It's surfing really takes it out of you. It's total body from head to toe. You're working everything. You know, like riding the waves, almost the easy part. You know, the paddling, the getting through the surf, and then the positioning, and then reading all the elements and reading the swells and when they're coming. That's the really tricky part.
So you mentioned that when you were younger, you had done some skateboarding, and a lot of our young people really like to skateboard. Is there a connection between skateboarding and surfing?
Yes, there's definitely a connection there. You know, skateboarding was born from surfing. Surfing was around before skateboarding, and they came up with a way to call it sidewalk surfing at first. You know, they were sidewalk surfers. They made those boards to be able to surf on land. So there's a big connection there. I think skateboarding definitely helps. Any board sport, whether it's snowboarding, skateboarding, all those help because it's a board sport and you're dealing with similar balance. You're on a board that's wobbly. The only thing that's different with surfing is that you're on, not only is the board that you're on, it's not stable, it's moving all over, but the ocean's moving as well. When you're skateboarding, you're skateboarding a ramp, the ramp's always the same and it's stable, it's not moving around. But when you're out in the water and you're surfing, everything's moving.
Now, is it possible to overtrain while you're training for surfing?
Yes, it's definitely possible to overtrain. I feel like I see people doing that more now than ever. Not only can you just train too hard in the gym where you're just sore and stiff when you go surfing, yes, but also people are coming up with so many different techniques now that everyone's searching for the new technique that's going to, you know, take you to the next level surfing. And it's, and to me, a lot of it seems too forced, and they're basically trying to come up with these surf styles on land that are almost robotic. So you can almost tell who's been doing these different techniques when they go in surfing, and you're like, wow, that person surfs like a robot almost, you know, because they've been training so hard, going over these movements on land so much that they take it into the ocean and they take it into their surfing, and it just looks robotic. Surfing's an art form. You know, you express yourself. It's a lot of style, and everyone has their own style. But when you go through, you know, some of these techniques and training methods on land over and over and over, when you go in the ocean, it doesn't look right. So there, you can definitely overtrain.
Does underwater breath hold training give you more confidence when you're surfing in big waves?
Yes, breath holding is very important, especially surfing in big waves, waves of consequence. It's important to be able to hold your breath, you know, for at least, you know, a minute or two is great. You know, it's rare that you're under for a minute, but you know, any 20 seconds, 30 seconds underwater is a really long time. It feels like 5 minutes, you know? So if you're confident with holding your breath underwater, it's going to give you a lot more confidence, you know, when you're in a situation where the waves are big and everything's coming down on you, you need to be able to relax. You need to be able to just really completely shut off when you're underwater and relax and let the waves spin you and take you and just go into this really zen mode underwater. Because the moment you start fighting and trying to scratch to the surface and all that, you're losing air and you're losing energy underwater, which isn't good.
Now, when you were on the World Champion Surfing Tour, how tall would some of the waves be?
Oh, definitely there's some in Hawaii, you have some of the bigger surf, you know, anywhere into the 10, 15 foot range, which is that when I say like 10 to 15 foot, that's almost like measured from the back of the wave. So the face of the wave that you're riding is like a 20 foot wave. Yeah, stuff like that. And like I said, like almost riding the waves, the easy part, but like the positioning and, you know, it's Mother Nature too. You could think you're sitting there in the perfect spot waiting for this wave, but then Mother Nature sends this big set that there hasn't been anything like it all day, 25 feet, and it breaks beyond you and all the competitors and washes everyone in. And, you know, it's like, it's wild, you know, it's forever changing. And you really never know what's going to happen. You prepare yourself the best you can, but yeah.
Now, as part of your training, Ben Bourgeois, did you train in holding your breath? And how does one train to hold your breath without actually drowning?
There's a bunch of different ways to do breath hold training. You can search it online, and there's all sorts of stuff that comes up on YouTube. A lot of people do it in a pool, mm-hmm. and it's good to do it with someone else as well. You don't ever want to do breath hold training alone, because it can be dangerous. You can black out underwater, and if you don't have someone there that's helping you, that can be dangerous. So always, whenever you're doing any sort of pool training or swimming, breath hold work, you definitely want to have a partner with you. So pool, anything you can do in a pool and work on breath work's incredible. There's a ton of courses online and different retreats you can go to that just specifically work on, you know, diving and breath hold work that are incredible.
What is the longest that you've held your breath for?
I think my personal record was like two minutes or 2.5 or something like that. Yeah. I haven't done a ton of that work, but I do feel really, really comfortable. But if I was going to go on a trip and I knew it was going to be focused around like big waves and heavy, we call it heavy water, mm-hmm. I would definitely, do some breath hold work before I went on that trip.
Wow. And what do you have to do to prepare your lungs to be able to hold your breath for that long?
There's a bunch of different breathing techniques, and the way you hold air, you know, you gather the air and hold the air before you go under. There's also a lot of cool techniques where you basically go down in shallow water, but you run there. I love this technique where you actually pick up a rock underwater, mm-hmm. run along the bottom, a sandy bottom with a rock. And that's a good one too, because you're not just sitting there holding your breath. You're actually doing a movement and holding your breath at the same time, which is really cool. And they also do one where there's like three people go down underwater and the two people spin you around while you're holding your breath. And that's a really good technique for surfers, because when you're surfing big waves and you do get these long hold downs, you're not just sitting there, you know, in this perfect position. You're getting tumbled upside down and all over the place, and you don't know which way is up or down. So it's good to practice that.
So how do you train to be relaxed while the ocean is tossing you?
That's a really good one too. That's, you know, it's all about staying relaxed is like the key to all of it. So yeah, for me, I just go to a place, cause I've been doing it for so long. I just go to a place in my mind that I just know, like, okay, I just have to let this, it always passes. Like it always, you know, the turbulence and all that does subside, and then you can swim up. I've just been in that situation so many times. I've just learned to really just kind of shut off, you know, I just shut my mind off and just relax and just let it go, you know, and just let it take me wherever it's going to take me. And then once I start to feel things start to mellow out, then I, you know, start to swim to the surface.
Now there are online training courses for surfing. What online training courses do you recommend?
There are so many online training courses now that focus on surfing. There's hundreds for all different levels, you know, so for beginners, intermediate, way advanced. It's an overload of information. Honestly, it's really tough, but there's some great ones out there. I like to send people to like former pros that have their websites that really focus on that. I think that's key. There are a lot of people online that have training courses, but they don't really have much of a background in surfing per se. So I tend to not send people that direction, but send people towards some of the pro surfers that have really good courses online. There's one called Wave Kai, which is really good. And that's by a former professional surfer, Brad Gerlach. And he was second in the world at one time, and he's been training people for a really long time. He has a really good technique of movements and everything that's a little different than others. That just comes to my mind right off the bat. But I think it's important to, when you are picking an online course or a class, to really do your research on who this person is that's teaching the class and what they've done within the surf world and, you know, all that stuff. I think that goes a long ways because you're going to get some really good information.
Now, one of your websites is sweetwatersurfshop.com and sweetwatersurfschool.com. How long have you been teaching surfing?
Well, you know, I don't teach all the time. I do a little bit on the side. Our sweetwatersurfschool.com or Sweetwater Surf School here in Wrightsville Beach is the surf school that we do out of our surf shop. And it's mainly just for beginners. So we have, that's in the summertime only. But that's mainly just for beginners. I don't teach that class. We have a whole team that runs that whole show. What I do is a little bit more advanced. I do like advanced coaching for younger kids that are starting to compete, you know, in the amateurs and then trying to make that next step to the professional level. I will work with some kids like that and also professional level surfers that are, you know, trying to get onto the world tour or that even are on the world tour. I'll work with them as well.
Okay. And with that, let's take a break and listen to another message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. We're listening to Ben Bourgeois, world champion surfer. And this is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer. And we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So Ben Bourgeois, world champion surfer, what are some of the best movements on land that people can practice that will help them when they're actually in the ocean surfing?
Yeah, the best movement you can practice, it all goes back to that pop-up. That's the one. I think that's the one that can help people the most, especially in the beginning stages. It's basically like a push-up. So, you know, if you can't do like a push-up or two, then that's probably going to be problematic when you're working on your pop-up. So that's the number one movement to work on land is the pop-up. You know, you lay on the soft board, or even if you don't have a board, you can just lay down in your living room or in the gym or on a yoga mat and work on that, you know, push up to pop up feet underneath you. That's the main movement on land. The other ones, all the other stuff, the turns and the maneuvers, when you start to get to that, I don't really like to mimic those on land. Because like I said, it can turn into kind of this robotic movement in the ocean. I like to specifically work on the maneuvers and all that in the ocean only.
Now, Ben Bourgeois, I've now taught yoga for 28 years. And part of what I teach is balance training. In fact, I have a client, a private client, and we work once a week on balance training. But we're standing on solid ground. How can yoga help surfing performance?
Well, yoga is incredible, and it's become so popular in the surf community. There's like yoga surf retreats going on all over the world. The two really gel together. You know, all the different yoga movements totally translate into the surf movements. You know, there's a lot of similarities there, and yoga is such an incredible it's such an incredible, you know, movements. The movements are very, they flow, you know, it's like a flow, and surfing's all about flow. You have to go with the flow of the ocean and movement of the wave. So the two, yoga surf, you know, it's just, it's a great combination. I can't think of anything better, any sort of like training technique, that is better than yoga for surfing.
Now, as you know, there's different kinds of yoga, and you mentioned flow yoga, which is an Americanized version, I guess, of Ashtanga yoga. Are there any particular kinds of yoga that help surfing, or is it just all helpful?
I think it's all helpful, and it just comes down to your preference, you know, of what you like best. I really like hot yoga. I just think it just helps me get, you know, loosens me up even more. And I really feel a lot of benefits from hot yoga, but, any yoga, you know, whatever, as long as you're having fun and it's working for you, I think that will translate into the surf.
Now, as I mentioned, when I teach balance training, and of course there's a lot of different balance moves in yoga, you're standing on one leg, essentially on solid ground. How does balance training in yoga translate into surf being on a surfboard?
Well, I think there's so many different poses in yoga where you're basically on one leg, you know, you're one foot, one leg. And there's a lot of times when you're surfing, mm-hmm. and you end up on balancing on one foot, you know, to catch yourself and to adjust, and you're constantly shuffling your feet. And yoga has a lot of those movements where you're not always on, 2 feet aren't always planted on the ground. And honestly, your 2 feet aren't always planted on your surfboard. You know, when you do a maneuver, you come down and you're a little off weight, you really have to adjust, and one leg could be in the air, but you can adjust and bring it back. So yeah, that's, you know, that's where I get back to, you know, yoga and surfing go hand in hand, because it's all balance, you know, it really is. And there's like a thing called an Indo board, where it's like this piece of wood and it has like a roller underneath it. So it's like a wooden board that you can kind of balance and, you know, do some sort of yoga-ish poses on as well. I don't really get into too much of that, but it can definitely help, you know. And also the exercise balls, you know, I think are great too. You know, you can be on your knees on an exercise ball and everything's moving. You can do some movements on there, and those are good.
Yes. And in my healing room, I've got exercise balls that over the years I've taught people to balance on. I haven't jumped up and stood on a balance ball, though. I've kneeled on the balance ball. And then there's also balance boards, ones that wobble side to side and wobble in all directions. Now, when people start to surf, how long does it take to see results from their training?
You know, that's, I think it takes quite a while to see results from training out into the water. I can't really put a time stamp on that, but I feel like consistency is just key. You know, the more consistent you are, if you can work at it a little bit each day, then you'll start to see the improvements in the water. But that's it. Consistency is key. Like I said, if you step away and you can't surf for a month or something like that, staying consistent if you can swim in the pool, if you can go to the gym, you know, balance ball, maybe start popping up on the go from your knees to your feet on the exercise ball. All that stuff's going to help. But the more time you can spend in the ocean, riding waves and going through the motions, that's going to be your best bet.
How important is mental health and surfing?
Mental health is in surfing are great because surfing really helps your mental health, I should say, just because you're completely disconnected. You know, you have no attachments when you get into the ocean. All you have is you and your surfboard, no phone, no, you know, I don't wear a watch or anything when I go in the ocean. That's my time to really just disconnect completely. So it's amazing for mental health, you know, you're just one with the ocean, you know, and you can really just, it's so peaceful. I think it's great. I think that's why a lot of people, surfing's become more and more popular nowadays, is people are just doing it because it's like one of the only sports where you can really just, you disconnect, you know, your phone's left, your phone's in your car or it's on the beach, you know? And I think that's huge nowadays, is to get away from your telephone and all the electronics and, just be one with nature and surfing. You know, surfing is the one of the, you know, main sports or activities you can do that where you really can't have your phone with you. Everything else, like you can go on a mountain bike ride, but your phone's there. You can go snowboarding, but you're on the lift and you're on your phone, or skateboarding. Everybody has their phone out now. It's so surfing's really special. And I think it's incredible for mental health.
Now, what are the top five surf schools in your opinion?
Another great question. Top five surf schools, in my opinion. I'll just throw a couple out there. I would say BVI Surf School is probably my favorite surf school in the world. And that's located on Tortola in the British Virgin Islands in the Caribbean. It's an amazing little surf school that's like tucked into this beautiful beach at Josiah's Bay. And it's run by some great people. And it just has this very authentic feel. It doesn't have all the flashy, you know, balance boards and like all this stuff. It's just like this beach shack, very low profile, but, you know, incredible people run it. They have a great service, beautiful, beautiful setup. I can't say enough good things about BVI Surf School. That's always been, first time I ever went there, I was like, wow, this is my favorite surf school ever. It's like being in a very humble beach shack, but it's just as pure as surfing gets. That's the spot. Other than that, I would say we'll say Sweetwater Surf School because that's you know, I'm a part of that. And Wrightsville Beach, right here where I'm from, it's a beautiful town, a really good place for beginners in the summer. The water is extremely warm. There's a number of surf schools, and they all do a good job. By the way, so it's not just Sweetwater Surf School. There's a bunch of other ones that do a great work. Let's see, a couple more I would say is Uncle Brian's in Hawaii, in Haleiwa, North Shore, Hawaii. He's been doing it probably for longer than anyone. And that's Uncle Brian's Surf School in Haleiwa, Hawaii. Let's see, what's another good one? I would say up in New York, you have Scudin Surf, which is amazing. That's in Long Beach, and that's run by Will Scudin and his family. He's a big wave surfer from New York. New York actually gets really good surf. A lot of people don't know that. It is chilly, but they have an incredible surf school up there, Scudin Surf. So there you have it. I'll say one more. We have Vibes Surf School, and that's in Cabarete in Dominican Republic. Another good place to learn too for beginners. A beautiful beach there at Playa Encuentro with really nice beginner surf. And it's very consistent.
Now, we're talking about learning how to surf. At what age can people begin to learn how to surf? Like, and how old can you be and continue to surf?
Oh, you can start. If you can walk, you can surf, you know? I mean, they're getting kids on boards now when they can crawl, you know, and they'll put them on the front of the board, and the parent will ride the board with them on the front. And it's basically 3 years old. Kids are starting to ride waves, and then, you know, 4, 5, 6, they're riding waves on their own. So you can start at a really young age. And then as far as, you know, how long can you take it? It's the same. You can, as long as you can walk, you can surf. You know, there's 80-year-olds surfing daily. There's really no age limit on surfing. You can keep going as long as you possibly can.
Now, we talked earlier in this interview about common injuries for surfers, and you talked about getting cut by the shins, by the fins.
Yeah.
Right. Do people get head injuries from surfing, from getting hit in the head when the board gets tossed by a wave?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of head injuries in surfing, not just from the fins, the board. It could also be if you're surfing over rocks or reef, you know, you can crack your head on the bottom, which is sometimes sharp reef or rock, and that hurts. And then also when the waves get bigger, you know, it's such a, you get going really fast. You know, you can be going 30 miles an hour. And when you hit water going that fast, it hurts. It feels like concrete. So you can get really bad whiplash, and, you know, you can get, you can get head injuries. You know, people get major head injuries, concussions, and all types of stuff from surfing. And that's when people are surfing at a really high level in massive waves. They're starting to find a lot of concussions. So guys are, more and more people are wearing helmets now in the surf. When the conditions are big, or when if the bottom's really shallow rock or reef, a lot of people are wearing helmets.
Now, Ben Bourgeois, you made it as a world champion surfing tour, and, you know, different qualities are required for different professions. What makes a world class surfer? I'm sure you have a lot of friends who are world class surfers. What are the common qualities of world-class surfers?
I would say one of the qualities you have to have is you got to be really enjoy being on the road, because you're going to travel a lot. You know, years went by where I was just circling the globe, you know, just one event after the next, and then, you know, chasing this swell here, there. I fell in love with traveling. Which was very good. There was, you know, other guys, you know, don't like to leave home so much, or where they live, the waves are really good. And, you know, it's like they're traveling the world, but like they're missing out on the waves at home and stuff like that. I didn't really have that issue, because where I come from, the waves aren't that great. So I was like happy wherever I went. I was like, whoa, this is better than home. You know, I get to travel and see the world. So I think one of the major qualities is definitely, you got to have the travel bug. Because you're going to be gone, you're going to be on the road a lot. So that's one of the main things. And then I think the other qualities are, enjoying all the things that come along with surfing. There's a lot of ups and downs. You know, you're dealing with nature, so it's not always going to go your way. You have to be really patient. Surfing's all about patience. I mean, there's times when you sit out there and you wait and wait and wait. It could be an hour before you even catch a wave. So you got to have patience. You don't just like run out there and catch all these waves all the time. There's so many different variables and different conditions that patience is huge. And there's some of the best surfers in the world. They're known for just their ability to just be so patient and wait for the perfect wave. And sometimes that could be 2 hours, 3 hours, and they'll sit and wait and wait and wait. And then, you know, boom, there it is. And they'll get their one perfect wave.
Ben Bourgeois, if someone is listening to this program and they're interested in surfing, what advice would you give them?
My advice to someone who's just starting out is, go to a good surf school. Don't try to do it on your own. Unless you have somebody who's a friend that's a great surfer and they can help you out, that's amazing. I mean, that would be the best case scenario, is just have a friend that knows that's been surfing their whole life and can really get you going. Other than that, go to a good surf school where there's nice small waves. A lot of people get turned away early on because they get taken out into conditions that are over their head. you know, and they have a bad fall and they just can't even come close to standing up. And a lot of times that's just, they didn't have good guidance, you know, or they tried it alone. They tried to go just figure it out by themselves. That's definitely not the way to do it. So go to a good surf school, you know, trust your instructors and, or, you know, trust a good friend that you have to take you out, but, you know, just take your time, start really small. You know, I like to start people like that are just starting out for the first time. If I'm teaching someone, I take them to the smallest waves possible where the water is not even like, is barely over their knees, like waist deep water where they can always touch bottom. And then I start them really slowly on a big stable board that just get them the feeling of riding a wave first and get them having fun. I want people to have fun. You don't want them to be scared and have this terrible experience on their first try, because then chances are they're not going to come back to it. So I really like to see people just have a good time and have fun on their first few tries at it, and just get them in really small, gentle waves and get the feeling, and then slowly work up to bigger waves and smaller boards.
You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. This is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer. We've been listening to world champion surfer Ben Bourgeois, and you can find out more about Ben Bourgeois and his wonderful work at sweetwatersurfshop.com, sweetwatersurfschool.com, and thesheadwb.com. And remember, when you're riding the wind and the waves and you're at peace with Mother Nature, you heal yourself naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.